Welcome everybody to episode 11 of What's the Value? You know, I have to say, as I continue to do this podcast, I find myself so fortunate to be having these types of deep, exploratory, philosophical conversations with such amazing people. And today, that's especially true with the guest I had, Sarah M. Sarah, and you'll hear some of this in the conversation, grew up in Cambodia, and for 4 years she was held captive in the killing fields, the communist kind of camps where people were held in unbelievably harsh conditions, you know, working unbelievably long hours, intense work, little food, little sleep. At one point she got so sick she was sent to a death camp. Fortunately for her, for us, for everybody, she recovered and was able to get out. But to have a conversation with her about what she values in life and how she approaches life and her philosophy was just so interesting and impactful. And for Sarah, you know, she spoke about family. She spoke about family as her most important value, and rooted in that was also a big degree of hope, and how her love for family and the hope that she would get back to them is what helped to make it through. And that's an amazing story in and of itself. But Sarah was also so gracious to kind of take part in this podcast in the way that I like to run it, where I want to explore, I want to question, I want to challenge to an extent how she thought about it, to really understand it, because I want people listening to not just think it's superficial. And this is just another person who, yes, went through horrible things and made it out, but now there's just these kind of buzzwords and buzz lines of hope and family and motivation and mindset and all this stuff. But to really understand, what does that mean? How did that actually help her? And is it actually true for everybody? Right? Her belief in God and her belief that things will always get better, was that actually legitimate? Does that work for everybody? Does it even work for her? Was it just a convenient thing? Was it just luck that she got out and the circumstances were what it was? And again, I thank Sarah so much for going on that exploration with me and answering my questions, and the insights that came out of it were just so deep to me and so impactful. So I really, really hope you guys enjoy this episode, and I thank you so much for listening. All right, Sarah, thank you so much for being on the show. I really, really appreciate it. I'm going to start, like I always do, with the question of what's the value? What's the value that's most important to you and kind of guides your life?
Okay. The value that most important to me is family. Mm. Family and hope and optimistic. So those are the...
Those are the important ones. So let's start with family, I guess, because you mentioned family first. How do you think about when you say that's the most important value? How does that apply or play out in your life? How do you kind of ensure that value is kind of the top priority? What does it look like in your life?
Well, I look back in my younger life, my family was really important. When I grew up, I was really close to my family, and my mom and I, we developed a very loving relationship, and that's a relationship, that love, that gave me so much strength. Hmm. That when I lived through a very hard time in the killing field in Cambodia, that value of love, that relationship that I built with my mom, that was sustained me. Mm. At that time, when I was captive by the Khmer Rouge communist, I was far away from my family. And because I went to college in the city, in the big city, and that's more than 300 miles away from home. And when they come in, I have no way to go back home. They cut on everything. So I was totally separated. At that time, I realized how much I miss my family, how much I need them, how much I want to be with them. And that's what kept me alive, kept me, you know, gave me something to be hopeful. That I hold on to that.
Yeah.
Why I feel like my family is really, really important to me.
So that's, I mean, part of the reason I was so excited to talk to you was exactly that experience you had, obviously, in the killing fields in Cambodia. And I know the book, you go into a lot of that detail. I'm curious, and as I mentioned before we started, I asked this question completely genuinely because I think it's important for people to understand it at kind of a very base level. When you were going through that, right, those horrible times when you were captive, exactly as you said, in these camps where so many people were dying, what was it about your family? Like, if you had to explain it at a level below in detail, was it just the good times you had with them? What was it that kept you, that sustained you? What was it that about family that allowed you to feel like, no, I'm going to keep going, I'm going to keep fighting?
Well, thank you for asking deeper question. Yes. A few years before the communists took over our country, my mom had an accident. Mm. And that accident make her become paralyzed. Mm. She was not able to move at all, but she was still able to talk. So I was the first born child. I'm the only girl in the family. And my responsibility is to take care of my mom. So take care of the person that is completely paralyzed. It's a really hard work, but with my love, I want her to be well again. I do all I can to take care of her. 4 years that we have this very close relationship. When at that time I was in high school, I remember every time I come from school, I always bring something fun, something, you know, something to cheer my mom up. Something, you know, good news, good information, a joke or something. So for 4 years, we built such a strong love relationship.
Was there ever a part of you, Sarah, because I think for some people listening, myself, I shouldn't speak for people listening, I'll speak for myself, as I hear you say that, there's a part of me that hears it and says, that's beautiful. Like that's in some ways, that's exactly what life and love is all about, is someone you care about going through something horrible or needing your help, and you help them, and you do it in a selfless way, in a way that brings you enrichment and joy as well. But there's another part that I can imagine people saying, like, was it tough? Was it difficult? Because I'm sure you had to sacrifice so much. You had to give up so much of yourself for your mother. Was it a struggle, or was it something very easy for you where it felt like, hey, this isn't hard for me at all. This is exactly what I want to be doing. Or were there times where you felt like this was a burden on you in some way?
It was challenging. It was difficult, but I never feel it's the burden. Mm. I feel like this is my responsibility because my mom took care of me when I was younger. So it's the opportunity for me to give back. Well, in Asia, especially in Cambodia, family relationship with very close. Mm. Everything that we do is evolve around the family. We don't have the support from the government. When my mom becomes sick, we have to close down the business. So there's no income coming in. The first couple of years, we drain, we exhaust all our saving. We become very poor. And we struggle emotionally because my mom's sickness, but financially, that's another hardship. But we survive through all that. Mm.
Is there any part of you, and again, I ask this because I think it's important for people to understand, and it's important to look at it from all sides. Given that family was such a cultural priority for you in Cambodia and in Asia, as you say, is there any part of you that looks at it and wonders, like, is that the right way? Again, obviously, on the one hand, it is, right? It's your mom. She took care of you. You take care of her. But as you step way back, and this is somewhat of a philosophy podcast, it starts to get to the meaning of life a little bit. It sounds like what you're saying is that part of the reason, if not a lot of the reason, that we're here on this earth is for that, is to support and take care of our family, to do right by them, to help them and those things. is there any part of you then or now, as you think about it, that questions that or wonders, like maybe there's a different approach to it. Maybe somebody who does look out for their own pleasure, their own well-being above their family or above others, maybe there's something to that. Is there any part of you that has considered that, or how do you think about that?
Not at all. Mm. Not at all. Yeah, we are in it together.
Mm. And one of the things that is always fascinating to me is certainty, frankly, when people are certain. And that answer you give, and I in no way suggest you're wrong, because I think in many ways you're likely right. But for people listening, like, what gives you that certainty? What tells you that, no, not at all, absolutely, this is what I'm meant to be doing? How do you know that? How do you know for sure?
Because I do it at the bottom of my heart. From my heart, there is no resentment. There's no grumble. There's no complaint at all. So that's how I know it's the right thing to do.
When you think of others, and myself probably, so I have a wife who's ill. She has multiple sclerosis, and she deals with lots of issues as well. And so a lot of what you're saying resonates with me. There are times, though, where even though I know I love her and I would do anything for her, where it can feel like a lot. It can feel difficult. What do you think I'm missing, or not necessarily missing, but what is it that's people that don't have that same degree of certainty about how important family is, and that sensation of there's no resentment or anything like that? What do you think is going on there versus how you think of it and how you approach it?
I'm not quite follow the question.
So for people that, I guess what I'm saying is, for people that might be in your position and they do have some hesitation, they do have some resentment, even if they are still really good people who care about the person they're caring for, what do you think explains that difference? Do you think, and I'll put it simply, and I know I don't think we're suggesting this, but are they bad people? Are they confused? Do they just not understand the importance of family? You know, I guess what I'm saying is, why don't you think everybody sees it the way that you do?
Okay. Yes, I got your point. I think the difference is the perspective, how you view the situation. The perspective of the person, that's what makes it the big difference between me and somebody else. My perspective is, this is what I need to do. I want to help. I want her to get well again. It's my responsibility. And I do it with love. And that's how I look at things. But if you look at from a different angle, you see something different, you will feel different. You will, if you look at, oh, I don't have time to go out with my friend and all that. If you look at the lack of the uneasiness or something as an obstacle to your pleasure, you will feel totally different. Mm. But I don't have that perspective in me to look at that way.
Mm. Do you think that was from when you were born, that's just you, that's the way you always were? Or do you think that was something that you learned through your family and through your experiences? That perspective of looking at it from that way.
Yeah, I think it's from the way how I grew up.
Yeah. It was instilled in you by your family and by where you lived that was most important.
Yeah.
So you talked about, obviously, the experience in the camp, right, in the killing fields. When you were there and you thought about your family, were there ever times where that wavered at all, where you thought, like, hey, this is too hard. This isn't what life is supposed to be, or maybe this just, life sucks, frankly. Like, this is just horrible in my perspective, although it felt good when things were going good or better. Now it's bad. Was there ever that questioning, or was that faith there throughout?
It's always there. My perspective is the same. Even though I struggle in the killing fields, my love for my family is still still the same. In fact, I appreciate that love that I have built. That's what sustained me. That is like an anchor for me to look forward to go and grab it.
And was it literally, because I've obviously fortunately never been through anything like that. I think most people listening haven't, which is why you bring such an interesting perspective and unique perspective. Was it like the underlying way in which that works? So I know, you know, from what I've heard and seen you speak before, it was, you know, all day working out in the heat, no breaks, sick, not much food, like really the horrendous conditions you might imagine it is. Was it literally as you're going through those days and you're struggling through it and you're just feeling that burden, was it just a constant thought of your family in your mind? Was that gave you more energy, more motivation? What literally on a given day would you think about? How would you process that and use your family as that anchor?
Well, on a daily, I don't think about my family all the time. I have a responsibility that I need to do. I need to keep up with what they want me to do. So my daily thinking was just try to make to the next day, try to finish today so I can make to the next day. But ultimately, my ultimate purpose is to go back to reunite it with them.
That was the motivation.
Yeah, it's the motivation. It's the sense of purpose.
Yeah, I get that. Because I could imagine, again, this experience I could never fully understand, but I could imagine on a given day or at a given point in time, there's a temptation to give up, to feel hopeless, to feel like this is just too bad, this is too horrible. But what you're saying is there was that offset. There was that sense of no, like at the end of this, I have to get back to my family. I have to get back to them. And as long as I can get through these next 10 minutes and then the next 10 minutes and then the next 10 minutes, I'm that much closer to getting to my family. That was kind of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Were there others at the camp who you saw who didn't have that approach? Like how did others at the camp handle it? Did you find the ones that were able to get through it, were typically thought of it like you and had that perspective, or were there other perspectives that you saw there?
We don't have opportunity to talk, to share the intimate thought like that. But I know some people give up. A lot of us got sick because of the malnutrition, because of the exhaustion, and the lack of sleep, lack of rest. Most of us become very sick. Some people just let it go, just die. But I'm not ready to let it go because I have a purpose.
To get back to the family.
Yes. And I feel like my life is useful for my family. I'm not just live for myself. I want to go and help out because my mom just recovered from paralysis. She could use me and I could be more useful over there.
What is it all rooted in, would you say, Sarah? Is it just the family, or is there a religious or spiritual component that underpins it? So I guess what I'm saying there is when you think about hopefully a long time from now, whenever it is the end of your life and you look back on your life, obviously the sense that you were with your family and that duty that you have to family that you lived up to that is important. But why is it so important? Is it because you feel like that's what God put us here to do? What's the reason underneath it all that you think that's how I should spend my life or a big chunk of my life? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I think it's because I grew up this way, and my mom instilled her love with me. So I just feel love, feel connected, I feel appreciated. You know, I'm not feeling be used by my parents at all. I feel pretty much love.
What's interesting about that, as you say it, is there's almost, and I say this with complete sensitivity to your overall situation, so please hear, you know, when I say that, but there's a degree of luck in that, almost, as you explain it, in that who your parents were, right? Mm-hmm. That they did instill those things in you, because you can imagine a scenario where you were born to different parents who didn't teach you those things.
Yes.
Do you think you would have gotten there anyway? Do you think over the course of your life, you would have realized that family and love for them was the most important thing? Or do you think it was, you just were lucky that your parents taught you that from a young age?
I don't know how to answer that. If I was born in a different family with different philosophy, I have no idea how I will turn out.
what do you think about that? Because you could look at that and say, it's just chance. It's just random chance. And the only reason, and I say again, I say this with complete respect and just out of curiosity, but the only reason why you value family so much is because you were taught to. It's not necessarily the right way to do it. How do you think about that? How do you process that?
I don't think my parents taught me to love them. They did not teach me to love them. They earned my love.
But even still, that earning of the love is what got you to the place that you are, I think, as you're saying it, to value that so much. Had they not earned it, I guess, let's say in that scenario. Do you think, I guess it's the same question, but I'm just, it's fascinating to me to think about, had they not done that, and maybe you would have been a totally different person, is that okay? Would you have been okay with that? And I know it's a hard question to answer, but do you think you would have been as happy in life? Let me say it that way. Do you think you would have felt as happy and as purposeful as it is now, had you grown up in a different family?
It's a very difficult question for me to answer because it's the way I was grow up that way. And I cannot imagine in a different situation.
Hard to imagine, yeah.
For example, all the farmers, my parents are farmers. Because my parents value education, they rather have me sit at my table doing my homework, not to go out in the field to help them out. They don't need my help. They can hire other people to help them. So that's how much they dedicate. They want me to be educated. But the other family in the same neighborhood, they rather pull their children to come to do the chore, to help out this and that, distract them from doing the homework. So,
do you see one as better or worse?
Well, to help out, it's okay. But if to take them away from focus on education, it may not be totally right. But I would be happy to help out some. It's not just neglect the farming work altogether. I would love to help out. Yeah.
No, it makes sense. It makes sense. And I think in many ways, the reason I'm asking these questions, aside from the fact that I'm just so curious from your perspective and all that, is I often wonder, you know, when we look at others in the world, right, rhetorically, when we look at people and they're different than us, or they think differently than us, or they do things that we say, I can't imagine how you could think that way or why you would do that. This conversation, you know, in many ways gets to it, because it's so much of it is that luck of where you grew up and what you were taught from a young age and what you were taught to value. And it just really makes me wonder people's ability to overcome that, right? If they are put in a situation where, and you can almost think, you know, if we can go there in the killing fields, right? The people that were forcing you to do that work, when you think about them, how do you think about them? Do you think they just weren't lucky enough to be brought up in a family where they understood what life was really about and the importance of love and helping others? Or do you think there was something else at play there with them? Like, as you contrast that.
It is something else. They may grow up in a loving family like me, but they was pulled away and got brainwashed by the bad idea, bad philosophy. They were taught to hate, to not love, not to be kind.
And what do you think, we don't know, right? We're guessing, but what do you think allowed them to be brainwashed? What do you think it was that, because most people would hear your story, right, of what you went through at those camps and the killing fields, and there's millions of people that died there, yeah? And they can't imagine how somebody could be brainwashed to believe that's okay. How do you think that happens?
I think they were taught a different philosophy. The philosophy to turn their back on the previous government, because they were pointing out all the bad things from the previous government. And here is the new government. There's a new philosophy. Communism is better this way. And it's very convincing. They convince people to agree with the new philosophy. So the people that was brainwashed, they didn't know that they are being brainwashed. They didn't know that the new philosophy is very bad. The philosophy is not that bad, but it's the people that abuse the power, that abuse the system.
Did you ever at any point, or your family, as that new philosophy, that new government was coming in, did you ever think at any point like, oh, maybe this will be good, maybe this is okay? How were you able to see it and identify the bad parts of it, do you think?
We don't know much. We are not watching the news, and the news is now all over like here. It's only accessible to people that have TV, that have radio, and we were busy. Especially my family just recovered from a big loss through my mom's illness. We were struggling financially. So we don't have time to get into the politics and all that.
Kept you away from being brainwashed. Ultimately, as you said, you weren't hearing those messages in it. Yeah.
Yes.
And the people, how do you feel now as you think about the people who did that, the bad people, as you said? You know, maybe the philosophy itself isn't the problem, it's the people. Do you hold animosity? Are you angry? Are you, what do you feel towards them, if anything?
I forgave them, believe it or not. People may not believe me that I forgave them, but for my own sake, it's not good for me to hold on to the bitterness, to the anger, to a hatred. I let go.
How'd you let go? Because so many people, I imagine, struggle with that. They can't let go. They just can't. It was too hard. It was too bad. How did you find a way to do that?
I look for something good to be grateful for. I look at my family. I'm grateful that my family is still alive. And I'm grateful that I'm still alive. I'm grateful that I still can walk. I still did not lose my mind. At one point I have a very high fever and I have hallucination and all that. So my brain get damaged slightly. When I get out from the infirmary, people talk behind my back. I'm not the same as I was before. But I overcame that. No matter how sick I was, I'm glad that I'm better. I look at something that I have. So when they evacuate people out of the city, if I keep thinking about all my beautiful clothes that I left in the apartment, all the beautiful shoes that I could no longer wear, all the jewelry that I left, I will be sad, depressed, angry. But I look at my life different way. I say, at least I still have my life. At least I'm okay. At least they didn't beat me up, kill me. There are a lot of people get killed.
Please keep going.
Yeah, so I look at something good to be grateful for. It, they may not give it to me, but for me, I'm grateful.
That's that perspective you spoke about before, right? If you have that right perspective and you focus on the positives and the good and what you can be grateful for, it goes a long way. It really does, right? And for you, it allowed you to survive something that was most people's worst nightmare that they couldn't even imagine.
Yes. And the reason I'm sharing my story all over, because I want people to have a better perspective on their own life. It's not about me. It's not about the killing field. This is the talk about life.
So I could, it's just, it's so interesting. And for some people, I'm sure, myself, maybe to an extent, it's almost so hard to believe that you could be in situations so difficult, so horrible, right? As sick as you were, the work you had to do, how hot it was there, right? Not being able to see your family. And to not let the negative, because it, I think for some people, it feels like you're lying to yourself. Like life is that bad. Like, look at what the situation you're in. How did you overcome that? Because it sounds like you genuinely felt like, no, I'm grateful for what I have. How did that negative stuff not just force its way into your head?
I refuse to look at it. Let me give you one very, very clear example. 3 years ago, I had a car accident, and it's my fault. I didn't see the red light, and I went through it, and I hit somebody. So I damaged my car totally. I only have that one car, and it's gone. And I come home. I was so angry at myself, bitter and angry and resentful. And then I snap out of it. I say, look, it's only the car. My life, I'm safe. I did not get hurt. I'm still walking. My head did not get damaged and get brain damaged. Immediately, my attitude changed. I stopped being angry. I stopped being hurtful because of my mistake.
Do you remember in that moment when you were still bitter and angry that your car got destroyed? What allowed for that in that moment, right? Because you've been through so much. You seem to have such good perspective, right? You value family and all that. So even for you to be in that position where there was a period where you still, that bitterness, that anger came over you. How do you explain, what happened there? Why do you think that still was able to be a part? Is it just natural? You can't avoid, it's going to happen. It's how you deal with it.
Well, being negative, it's natural. Yeah. You know, I'm not God. I'm not above everybody. I'm a human. Human being have this, the feeling. So the negative feeling, it's part of our life. But how do we get out of the negative feeling? That's very, very important.
And what is the key to that? I often think part of it, and I'm very curious what you think, is just recognizing that we have some control there. It is somewhat of a decision, not the circumstances we're in, not the bad things that happen to us, but how we move forward. That's up to us. It could feel hard. It could feel like, no, it's totally justified for me to be angry and be bitter. But the important thing is knowing that at the end of it, it's still your choice how to handle it. Do you think that's the most important thing that people miss when they can't get out of it? Or do you think there's something else to it that stops them from getting out?
There's so much more. So much more in our whole system. It's our belief, our feeling, spiritual belief, our personal growth, it's a whole person. For me, I believe in God. I believe that God is with me. He protected me. Even though I have a bad accident, He protected me from my body injury. And it's the belief system as the whole person. It's not just about snap out from negativity. It's more than that.
It's like a lifestyle almost. It's something that you have to live every day. And when those moments happen, it's not just, okay, now I'm going to turn it on to get out of this. It's all the time. You're still going to have the negative feelings, but if that's the lifestyle you have and the approach you bring, when those things come, you have the ability to get out of it. Sounds like, yeah.
Yes.
I love a lot of what you're saying, Sarah. I think this is really, really insightful and useful for people. I have a question, which I hesitate to ask, but I feel like I have to, and I'm just really curious your response to it. So the belief in God, the belief that God's protecting you and that, I totally get that. What would you say to the people, maybe even people you knew that lived in the killing fields that didn't make it, that died, or didn't make it out? Some of those people might say, well, where was God then? Right? It's easy for you to say, and again, I say this with complete respect, just trying to understand it, but it's easy for you to say God's there and God's protecting you and stay positive. You got out, right? These other people didn't. Doesn't that prove that you were just lucky? Right? God wasn't there for everybody. Even, you know, their hope, whatever it is, it didn't work for them. How would you respond to that?
My response is this: God had planned for each person individually. Person that died, it doesn't mean that God didn't care for them. God had a different plan for them. Maybe God's plan is that person had to leave this earth and God has someplace else for that person. So each one of us have totally different plan that God has designed it for us.
Yeah, I get that. And in that, I guess there's a complete faith that no matter what happens, really, no matter what it is, no matter how horrible it is, it's okay because it's part of God's plan, ultimately.
Definitely. You get it. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there any part of you that, because I hope that's true. I hope that's true. And I perhaps am not as spiritual or as religious as you, and maybe that's a bad thing. But is there any part of you that worries, what if it's not? Like, what? It almost sounds so convenient to believe that, because then you don't have to get upset about anything because God's got a plan. But maybe there are bad things happening. Maybe that's just something we tell ourselves so we feel better. And maybe that doesn't matter. Maybe that's the point. Maybe that's exactly what God's trying to do. He's trying to comfort us through that. But I'm sure you've heard that argument before of, you know, that idea that God has a plan. It's just a convenient answer to explain away bad things. But maybe there are just bad things in the world. How do you think about that?
I want to talk about God's plan for each one of us a little bit.
Okay.
God's plan, it doesn't mean that He predestined our life. God gave us the choice. We can choose. At every moment, we can choose. We are not dummy that just keep going without turning. We are human beings. We have brain, we have emotion, we have feeling, and God give us free choice. And we are not confined by God's plan. But when there is a critical intersection, if we believe in God, if we have faith in God, my faith is, I expect something better. When I got gone through the killing field, I expect something better will come. That's how I keep my hope alive. Something will be better. It's just a matter of time. Keep moving forward one day at a time. Just survive one day at a time. Surviving is part of life. You know, if we don't survive, there's no future. So we have to survive the hard time. And then beyond, after we survive, we have future.
There's something so logical in that, you know, regardless of if those listening, if they believe in God or if they don't, that approach and that mindset that says, I have to believe something better is going to come. Because what's the alternative? What's the alternative? Am I going to believe it's worse? Am I just going to give up? Am I just going to suffer for the sake of suffering? Like, it only makes sense to move forward and to hope for the best. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. There may be more bad things that happen, and likely there will be, because we all deal with bad things in life. But if you keep the mindset that something better will come, even if it doesn't, it only serves you well. It only helps to keep you moving. It helps to keep you in a better headspace. Because again, the alternative is to say, this is it. This is my life. It sucks. This is horrible. Everything's bad. And then you're just that much worse off. You're still dealing with the bad thing, but now you feel terrible about it too. Does that make sense? Because there's such a deep logic in that. Yeah.
Yes. If we believe that something better is coming, you don't give up hope.
You have a chance.
It just one more step, just one more step. Keep going. It keep you moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Which has got to be what it's about. Because if it's not, then there's no point in being on this earth. If you're not willing to take that next step, then, you know, there's no point in any of it.
Yeah. Right.
Sarah, this has been a beautiful conversation. I love hearing your thoughts and your perspectives, particularly given what you've been through. I think it's so useful for me, hopefully for others, to hear it. And this is exactly what I want when I have these conversations, is not everybody has to agree on exactly what life is or whether God's here or the right philosophy or approach to life. But I think, and it kind of ties back to what you were saying before about those people that got brainwashed by the propaganda and all that. The important thing is to be thinking and questioning and thinking about what you value and why you value it and how you got there. And this conversation to me is such a beautiful way to do that, because it gives me more insight, more perspective on it. So I appreciate it so much, Sarah.
Thank you, Terry. You bring up and you ask really good question. Oh. Deep. It's not superficial. That's what I love about this conversation.
Well, thank you. Thank you for answering the questions. I'm sure some of it is painful. You've been through so much. But as you said, your ability to talk about it and share it can only help other people. So I appreciate you doing that.
Yes, I'm doing this because I want to help other people.
Yeah, it shows. It shows. Well, Sarah, thank you. And I appreciate it. We'll put some links in. Sarah has a book. She does speaking, lots of different things. So for those interested in more, I'll put that in there. But thank you again for this conversation.
Thank you, Terry. Nice talking with you.